End of the Blender, episode 26.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall.
Welcome to End of the Blender. This is your host, Chooch.
And Viv. And Chooch's tummy. Growling. Has it been that long since dinner?
Apparently.
Would you like the snack? No, no snacky while we record.
Go for the easy racial joke. It was Chinese food.
Is that a racial food or like a food joke?
Yeah, I suppose it's a food joke, huh?
Yeah.
Particularly since our Chinese food isn't really particularly Chinese food. It's American Chinese food. Right. Very different.
Very interesting.
Fascinating.
Well, I realized something as I was, because I listened to the last episode typically.
Uh-huh.
While I'm writing show notes for this next episode.
Okay.
And I realized that just like we did back in July, we had such an awesome weekend at the beginning of December that we had a total blackout.
Yeah.
We mentioned briefly Allie's birthday party at DFH, but there was like a whole weekend wrapped in awesome that we didn't talk about that was so fun. That I thought that we could. Well, it was the beginning of December, and it was that Saturday morning, M had his SATs.
Uh-huh.
And then after he had his SATs, he got out of that a little bit before 1, and we knew he had to work at 4.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that that was the only chance we were going to have to hang Christmas decorations and put up the tree and all of that kind of stuff until December 20th. So we very rapidly, in less than 3 hours, got the tree up, got the decorations on, hung some decorations for Christmas.
I remember that.
And then he raced out the door for work. It was very hectic. And also, the boys' grandparents on their father's side had wanted them that weekend. And I said, you know, we need to do our tree thing, our family thing first. And so they came and picked up LT that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a very, very, very hectic day. Capped off by Mark Bailey and Heather Welliver coming out for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
You were looking at me like deer in the headlights, like you have no idea what I'm going to say next.
I don't.
It's so cute. I'm the keeper of the calendar.
I clearly don't remember the order.
And you know what happened was we thought we were just going to have the SATs, and we were going to hang Christmas decorations and then was going to go to work. That's all that we went into the weekend knowing.
Right.
And then right before the weekend, it hit with having Mark and Heather over and Allie's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, there's just more. So I didn't even have time to put it in the calendar. And I had to try and go recreate. Now, when was that? What was that? How was that? Because it happened that fast. It just kind of snowballed.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark and Heather came out that night, that Saturday night, and I made lasagna and I tried to plump up the Grail Pup, which is the nickname for Mark and Heather's little baby since Heather's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had lasagna, and as usual, we talked and talked and talked and just have the best conversations with them. We have a lot of things in common, but we have differences too that make for very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cute. Heather played, I don't know if it's her very favorite song, but it's one of her favorite songs, Twirl World.
And Twirl, something like that.
Something, it was really a sweet, cute song. And we were all listening to it and getting into it and having a good time. And she had plugged her iPod into our stereo.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we were playing Rock Band. I don't think that we watched anything substantial. I think we might have flicked channels around, but we mainly just played Rock Band for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And then they left, really super late, like 2 or 3 in the morning. We didn't notice that Heather's iPod was still plugged into our stereo.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of December, and I discovered, I knew that there was an iPod there.
So did I.
I thought it was yours or Em's.
I thought it was Em's.
And I should have known it wasn't yours, because I would have heard you fussing, where's my iPod, for your long commute? But I didn't think about it, because we never have, like, extra iPods laying around the house. Turns out it was Heather's, and I didn't connect the dots on that until the beginning of January, when I was cleaning and going, huh. And I looked at this music on it, and I was like, well, I saw a lot of stuff that I have on mine. And I was actually thinking, is this mine? How long? What could I have had it here playing Christmas music over the stereo? And then I saw a lot of stuff I'd never heard of, and I was like, wait, this must be Chooch's, maybe. No, he would have said something. And so that's when I was like, Heather. I was like, oh yeah. So it took a month for me to, that was kind of sad. So we've had her iPod this whole time, and I just felt terrible about it. So they left super late, and we were so worried about them getting home safely. And of course they did. It was cold that night.
Yeah.
And the next morning we got up early to go and meet Darth Bonbon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we finally got to go meet Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway's beautiful baby.
Yes.
And they, if you aren't familiar, they are with Dancing Cat Studios. They produce, Serve It Cold? Which was
an audiobook they did.
Right. And they, you know, they're just movers and shakers in the podcasting world.
Yes. The EDD. The ADD cast.
Right.
And the Balticon podcast.
Yeah. But more importantly, they're just amazing people.
Yeah.
They're really fun, cool, sweet, kind, all that. And they have, I believe she's now 3 months old. Yeah, she's just over 3 months old.
Yeah. Just the 3 months. Cutest.
She is.
Cuteness burns us.
But we finally got to meet her. And at the beginning of December. So we were very honored to be, you know, allowed entry into Darth Bonbon's lair. And so we got to go and play with the baby and visit, you know, Paul and Martha. And it was just really a lot of fun. And then we raced across from Virginia to Maryland to go to Dogfish Head Brewery again.
Right.
Where we got to have another awesome meetup with a bunch of people for Allie's birthday, which we mentioned, but we didn't go into a lot. There was just a lot of people there. It was a total blast. More great conversation, more great company. Oh, do you remember there was that big group of like 60 people on the other side of DFH? And for the first time, we weren't the loudest people. We weren't the loudest group. There was actually a group louder than us, but there were like three times as many people.
Yeah, that was a lot. It was probably 50 people.
And we kept thinking, boy, they look like our kind of people. And turns out they were LARPers.
Right. Well, the funny thing, everybody kind of took glances back and forth.
Yeah.
And now and then you look over and you go, you know, and I think it was Mark Bailey had said, God, a couple of those people look really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else said, yeah, well, he looks kind of familiar. I don't know. And then, you know, you can kind of overhear some of the conversation and somebody had said, T. Morris, you got the biggest mouth here. Go ask those people what they're doing, where they're from. And he's like, all right. And he actually, one of them peeled away from the group, called from the herd, and T stopped him. And the moment he stopped him, and I recognized him. And I ran over.
Yeah.
And then one comment Mark had said was, yeah, you look at that group, they either got to be geeks or pagans. I was like, yeah, for a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of crossover in those two groups. So the guy who had stopped, I recognized him. He had instructed a class I took.
Right. And asked you to be careful about what you reveal. So I'm going to make you be more. Yeah.
And so he said, yeah, we're LARPers. We just got done with a weekend of LARPing.
Yeah.
And T's like, oh, well, we're podcasters. He was like, oh, well, actually, I produce a podcast.
I know.
Like, no way.
Put a bunch of geeks in a room.
Yeah. So he is one of the producers of Second Shift,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and I had heard of it.
Right.
Farpoint has a lot of ads for it, but I'd never really listened to
me
it.
Me either.
And after that meeting, I went and I listened to all of them and really liked it.
I still need to get it.
Good audio drama.
Okay. You got to remind me of that one.
It's kind of the classic group of friend geeky gamer types get sucked into a game like world where there's actually magic.
That's cool.
And they coming across this dimension,
mm-hmm.
they each discover abilities.
Mm.
So one of them can actually harness magic.
Gotcha.
And one's actually really super strong. So mm-hmm. you got the fighter type, you got the archer type, and you got the magic user.
That sounds cool.
But really good voice acting, really great production sound effects and everything, and just a really interesting writing, really good script.
Cool.
And so that was really cool. Oh, and ended up the creator of Second Shift is Andrea Schubert.
Ah. Wait.
Wait. My name's Schubert, but she spells it a different way. She spells it the Americanized way with no C.
Mm.
But that's okay. And she created a game I used to play.
Real? Oh, yeah, you told me this.
Yeah, if anybody does IRC, Internet Relay Chat, there's a few different IRC bots that run these little games. And she wrote a game called Acrophobia, which is just so much fun. It basically everybody gets in this channel and it triggers a new game like every 10 minutes or something. And so everybody takes, you either choose to be on team one or team two.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bot spits out a fake acronym, just a whole bunch of letters.
Okay.
And you have to come up with what that acronym can mean.
Okay.
And everybody types in different acronyms. And then everybody votes, and nobody knows who created which one, because you're whispering it to the bot. So everybody votes on the acronyms, and whichever got voted higher gets the highest points, and then, you know, goes like that. And it was a lot of fun. And it actually got bought by Sierra Online.
Mm.
And Sierra created, in the 90s, before there was really internet gaming, they created this, I don't even remember what it was called. It's called, like, Rage or Laugh or something network, gaming network, and that was one of the first games, graphical online internet games or whatever. So the producer of the show created that.
Awesome.
So, pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very exciting turn of events, because we were using our outside voices as we tend to do. We tend to get a little loud at DFH trying to holler down to the other end of the table. Did mm-hmm. I say holler?
Yes, you hollered.
Yeah. And it was just, we were having our usual fun and laughing and cracking up and goofing and twit picking and all kinds of stuff. And then mm-hmm. we got like magnified to the nth degree when we kind of joined forces with some of their folks. It was really cool. It was fun. We didn't have the boys with us.
I now follow some of them on Twitter.
Oh, do you?
Because some of them did tweet.
So it was a lot of fun. So, yeah. And then we got to drive home and wait for LT to get brought home. And it was so fun, though.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely exhausting weekend because we got home at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to start the laundry and pull the house together. Make sure the kids had everything they needed for school the next day. What I usually have the whole weekend to do in bits and pieces, I had from 7 o'clock on. And that's when I was still working the temp job that I'm no longer working.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've recorded since I left that job, right?
Probably.
Yeah, we did, because we recorded right before New Year's, I think. Yeah. So you guys know I'm not working at that place no more that
Yay.
Made me so sick. So hooray. And I still haven't found another position. I'm waiting still for them to place me in another position, and nothing's really coming up. So we're just kind of, I'm trying to get stuff done, get the house pulled back together, get it prepped for longer employment. So, yeah, the boys were visiting their dad and his family over Christmas, and mm-hmm. they came home like January 2nd. So mm-hmm. we did not have them for New Year's, but we still found a way to have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
We had Bran Gamlin and Allie come out, and they spent New Year's Eve with us. And the last time they came out, they left really late. And I told Allie I didn't want to worry about them driving home on mm-hmm. New Year's Eve with all the drunk drivers out, so bring the dogs yeah. this time. And Elf Princess was actually visiting her dad mm-hmm. out of state, so she wasn't there. It was Brandon, Allie, and the two dogs. And then New Year's Eve during the day, you had noticed that T. Morris of tmorris.com of Moravi and mm-hmm. Podcasting for Demi and all of those things didn't really have plans.
Yeah.
So you threw him an invite, and he came out with his awesomeness wife, Nat,
yeah.
and their daughter, Sonic Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do something that I'd been wanting to do for a long time.
What?
Well, I got to actually, like, talk to Nat,
yeah.
T's
yeah.
wife, and get to know her. Because we've seen her, like, two or three times.
Yeah, we do these big get-togethers, yeah. usually DFH, but we're branching out to a few other places right. now.
And they're usually, like, at another table or at the other yeah. end of the table, and it's usually those like,
those things are always so chaotic, because there's so yeah. many people and everybody talking, so you usually only end up really talking to the person you're sitting next to.
Yeah. It's still so much fun.
Well, absolutely.
But we've been trying to focus on spending time with couples and mm-hmm. individuals to actually, yeah, like, get to, really to talk
get to know them better.
So it ended up being just such a great night.
Yeah.
They came out, and we put together a dinner, a very casual dinner. We had a great time.
We were gonna do gaming. We were gonna play board games.
Again.
And T brought a couple. He brought one of his favorite games.
Yeah.
And he also had a Dark Tower.
Mm.
A Milton Bradley electronic Dark Tower board game.
Yeah.
That wouldn't start.
Yeah.
Aww. But
you told him how he could get it repaired, and his wife was just so happy at the thought of paying, what was it, $300 to get it fixed?
No.
What was it?
They go for about $300 on eBay. Mm. Actually, now they're down to about $200. Mm. Still, online, you can get them fixed for anywhere from like $40 to $60.
Gotcha, that's what it was.
But then you could turn around and sell for $300. Not that anybody I know would.
And if
it'd
they
be insane
did,
to sell a working Dark Tower. It's awesome.
And if it did get sold, they would be just beaten with a wet noodle by everyone else. Dead to, no, baby.
No, of course not.
That's a little bit dramatic.
$200 is some nice cash for a
well, yeah.
way old game.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I found an online Flash version. Somebody had created it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the original sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the original little graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun.
Twitter was all a Twitter when they were... Because T had asked you about it. And yeah. then Twitter was like, what? Wait, what?
Dark Tower. I love Dark Tower.
And then when you linked it, they were all just all... yeah, Twitter-pated.
Awesome. So I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, and... do that. That was so much fun,
but
though.
So we had planned on, okay, we'll have a gaming night. We'll get together.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun. And then we'll, you know, watch the ball drop and... drink some champagne, and never got anywhere near a game. We just yeah. talked.
We sat down at the table probably by 8 or 9, and I don't think we left the table for like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until maybe 11:30, coming up on midnight, that we actually went into the other room, turned on the TV to watch
yeah,
the countdown.
Yeah, I set an alarm on my phone so it would be
I'm
10 minutes before midnight so we wouldn't forget to
yeah,
go.
We very nearly did. We were just having so much fun. And Sonic Boom was playing with the dogs. That ended up being perfect because
yeah.
they were hoping that Elf Princess would be there to play with Sonic Boom because
yeah.
they're about the same age and they just get along so great.
Mm-hmm.
But with Brandon and Allie having the dogs, they just ran each other to exhaustion. Well, okay. Sonic Boom ran the dogs to exhaustion
yeah.
until they were asleep and hiding under the table. But we brought out our usual toys, so she had lots of stuff to do. And it was just so much fun. We talked nonstop for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And then we did the midnight toast and all that. Even got a picture of... Sonic Boom and T and Nat toasting each other. So cute. With sparkling apple cider, kids. Yes, we didn't get the
and
little girl drunk.
Sonic Boom always lives up to her name.
Yes.
And of course, when we's like, you know, it's midnight, make some noise. Uh-huh. And she started, yeah, yeah.
Go for
as loud
it.
As you want. She started screaming.
Yep. Yeah, she was, we told her and she did. Yeah, that was so fun. That was just the absolute awesomeness. It was so cool because I miss the kids on New Year's Eve, and it's always, okay, well, we don't have the key. The few times that we've not had them New Year's Eve, it's like, okay, let's go out and do something. But there's mm-hmm. never anything that we want to do mm-hmm. enough to go and do it, especially after we've spent every penny we have on Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, nah. And it turned out to be a great night.
Yeah.
You know, staying in with friends. So that was a lot of fun. And again, it just kind of came together at the last minute.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be. We had actually planned, we had actually discussed going. We didn't plan on it, but we contemplated going to visit Biscuit and Calf, our friends Biscuit mm-hmm. and Calf in North Carolina. And it was just, we would have gone there and we would have had to leave and had a couple hours with them and then come back the next night, which... I was nervous about all the drunk drivers and, you know, hungover drivers and the distance and not knowing what the traffic was and the weather was iffy. And so we stayed in.
Yeah.
Which I missed them, but it was still a fun night.
Yeah. And so T and family headed home and Brandon and Allie stayed over.
Uh-huh.
And in the morning we had breakfast and then we finally finished our Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes, I
finally
did.
Finally watched Return of the King.
I did my homework New Year's Eve during the day when I was cleaning and folding laundry and all that fun, exciting stuff.
Finished the Two Towers.
And I watched the second one so that I would be prepped. And I even, Brand even had a question at the beginning. He goes, I can't remember if they've done this blah blah yet. And I'm like, oh yeah, they did that already. And now they're this. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, just watched it. If I had watched it a week before, I probably wouldn't have remembered. It would have like gelled together with the other movie. But I was little Johnny on the spot with that answer. So yeah, we watched the third one finally. And it was awesome and wonderful. And I still love Sam. He's my favorite. I think he's the biggest hero of the movie.
Yeah.
Hands down. And Brand actually was kind, not questioning me, but kind of following that logic and saying, you know, because one of the things that I thought was so honorable about him was he was actually offering the ring. He had the ring at one point and he offers it. He contemplated not doing it. You could see the struggle, but he did give it back to Frodo.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that right there, you know, look what he did. Nobody else could do it. And he said, well, no, that's not really true because Frodo tried to give it to Gandalf and he tried to give it to other people. But at that point, it was out of weakness that he tried to give it away. It wasn't a,
right.
I want to keep it and I'm going to overcome my desires and keep it. It hadn't gotten a hold of him yet.
But they never touched it because they knew.
They
wouldn't be able to give it up.
Right.
And Sam actually had it.
He had it in his hands.
And gave it back.
And he gave it back. And he could have just as easily have kept it for himself. You could see that. And it didn't seem like it had a hold of Frodo to that extent when Frodo was offering it up to the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I, in my opinion, Sam had been in the presence of the ring long enough that it was acting on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he had the struggle, even though he had never touched the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he's my hero. He's my favorite little furry footed man. I heart Sam. So yeah, I guess I don't ever go for like the main movie stars. Like Mal's not my favorite from Firefly. It's Wash. Uh-huh. You know, it's not Frodo. It's Sam. It was Richard Grieco, not Johnny Depp. Although now it's Johnny Depp. I have repented. So that was a lot of fun. And then they stayed and then headed home. And I can't remember what we did. Oh, we also played a bunch of Little Big Planet. We got the PS3. We got them so hooked on Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
They went and bought it.
They went and bought a PS3 and bought Little Big Planet.
And Little Big Planet. And then I felt bad because I haven't played Little Big Planet since they were here. I haven't had time to. I know you have gone in and done world building.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've played it once since they were here. And I felt bad because I was like, well, I hope they didn't get it to play with us because I never know when I'm going to have time to play.
Oh yeah, and in the last episode, I had said if people had PS3s that they could friend me,
yeah.
And I'd given my email address, and that's not how they do it.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong. It's actually by username, and my username is Chuchus2, Chouchus2, the number two. And it's so rare that Chuchus is actually taken on any kind of social network or any kind of platform.
Yeah.
And it was already taken on the PS3 because I was part of the PS2 network.
Oh,
and it wouldn't transfer over, and it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to transfer over, it's not taking my password. And I tried to reset my password, and apparently it said I had the wrong birthday entered. So it's not giving it. So I just made a Chuchus 2. So you can friend me with that.
You know, I forgot to mention.
What?
When... I did not drink. I had one glass of wine New Year's Eve, and that was it because I had a 5K the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was called the Resolutions 5K, and they had them nationwide. And luckily, they didn't have it scheduled to start until 11, or else I probably would have said, I can't do it. But starting at 11 was perfect. It was after staying up so late, it was late enough that I was able to get, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And I went, and I hadn't been able to run for 2 or 3 weeks because of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was only like 15 seconds slower than the turkey trot that we did in November. And I, the only thing I can think of is that it was so cold. It was like 20, 25 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the wind chill was, but there was some wind.
Yeah.
There was some fierce wind. And that was it. It was just like, keep going, get out of the cold. The faster you go, the sooner you get out of the cold. And so it was very long, and I did very poorly compared to other racers, but I only was 15 seconds slower than my last time. I'm like super That's slow awesome. Runner, but I don't care because I enjoy it. So meh. I will always be in the bottom percentile, but I will always be with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The important thing is you're there doing it.
Yeah, I was really proud of that, starting the year off with that. That was really cool. And I came home just on like an adrenaline. I was just like so energized and happy and all of that stuff. It was great. That was one of the few times that I've felt that buzz that people always talk about that I never feel, the endorphin rush. I don't run because I get that. I run in spite of the fact that I don't get that. But I definitely got it that day because it was emotional and, you know, sticking with something and starting the year off right and all that garbage that makes you feel so good. It was cool, though.
Legend speaks of a time when unwisdom will rule the land. An age of misunderstanding with little hope or depth of insight. The legend also tells of a coming together of seers and prophets who hold in their collective answers to the great questions. Hewn from classic movies. In February 2009, the collective will share their wisdom. In the month of many mouths, we will hear and learn. So come, sit at the feet of Nathan Lowell, J.C. Hutchins, Mer Lafferty, T. Morris, Philippa Ballantyne, Michael Spence, P.G. Holyfield, and Scott Sigler. To be enwisdomed, please come to moviemantras.com and start your voyage to a higher state.
So since New Year's and the boys coming home and enjoying time with them, we've pretty much just been hanging out and getting stuff done. I actually got to go to Richmond one day and have lunch with our friends Jet and May.
Yeah.
May Breakall and Mistress Jet on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. I went down and I got to spend a couple of hours and hang out with them and chat and visit because I don't get a lot of time with them, even though they're like an hour away.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. I had a good time with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2 days after that, I had a job interview. Actually, I've been applying for a bunch of government jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a job interview and it's for a position that's actually like lower than what I was prior to leaving the government.
Right.
To go to college. And so I knew that I was more than qualified. I didn't think they'd really consider me because they would think that I wouldn't stick around or whatever. But the interview went really well. I was nervous about the fact that I was told, you know, make sure you don't bring a cell phone or anything like that into the building. You won't be allowed to keep it. You'll have to go put it back in your car. So I was nervous about that. So I left it in the car and I went inside and it was metal detectors and checked the bottoms of your shoes and checked the bags and wait for an escort and, you know, key carded doors in the hallways and everything. It was very high secure facility.
Yeah.
And so I had the interview and it was going really well. And to tell you, to demonstrate what a Twitter junkie I am, during the interview, they said, oh, you know, do you have any questions? And I asked some questions about the position and all that stuff. And then I actually said, the cell phone ban, is that a permanent thing or is that just because I'm interviewing? And it's two older gentlemen that were interviewing me, lawyer types. And they were like, oh, no, that's permanent. It's building wide. And I was like, oh. And the guy said, it's not that you won't be able to be reached during the day. You have a desk phone and you can, you know, make emergency phone calls or anything like that. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I was just worried. I didn't want to say about my addiction to social media. So I said, oh, I've got a youngish son and I just, you know, need to be able to be available if something happens. Oh, no, that's not a problem at all. And as I was leaving, I was thinking, what would I be tweeting right now? As I'm doing the 15-minute walk to my car going, if I could tweet right now, what would I say? The horror. I'm going to go through withdrawals if I get this job.
Yeah.
I won't be able to take my cell phone in.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to have a nailed, locked down, highly secure network, so I can't run Twitter on my desktop.
Probably not.
So I was joking. I was telling Chooch, if I get this job, I'm going to have to call you and tell you what to tweet for me.
And what's everybody saying?
What's going on? Did Heather post another belly picture? What's going on? So yeah, it'll be rough if I get that position, but it'll also be good money that we need to pay down our bills.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about secure buildings. I had a trip out to
right.
a couple weeks ago and not like to headquarters in Washington, but the local headquarters.
Yeah.
And I turned into the wrong little building, the wrong parking lot. And it's all, you know, corporate buildings.
Right.
So I just make a left. I realize, oh, it's across the way. It's the wrong thing. And I'll just turn around. And I almost went to make a U-turn, but then I looked up and saw like a guard shack and a guard, as I slowed down and I started to turn the wheel, one guard on one side jumps out of the little shack. And I was like, maybe I'll just, okay, I better go and, you know, tell him I need to make a U-turn. So, but I had a moment of indecision. I'm like, no, I'll just turn around. And I went to cut the wheel again and the guy perked up and looked. I was like, all right, I'm going to go see them. So I turn and I pull up to the guard shack and there's two guards.
Mm-hmm.
The one who is on where the driver's side window would be, the guy on the other side walks around and puts a friggin' machine gun in my face.
Oh my God.
A machine gun. And they're like, need to see your ID. And I was like, I just pulled in, you know, I was actually going to, but just need to make a U-turn. And like, I need to see your ID.
Wow.
I show him my government badge.
Right. I'm one of you.
And my driver's license. He takes my driver's license and says, you need to pull down there, you know, turn around, and we'll give it to you as you leave. We'll give it back as you leave. And the guy's got the machine gun in my face. Yes, sir. And I pull down, and as I'm coming around, no, I guess it was just before I started pulling away, he's like, we're getting a lot of you today, or something like that. I go, well, yeah, there was a big meeting going on. So apparently a whole bunch of other people had accidentally
done the
same thing. And of course the building's totally dark. There's no signs. There's no nothing. So I pull around. When I come to the other side, the machine gun guy's back in his shack and puts his machine gun down and hands me my license back, and I pull out. And I was just like, it's the freaking United States. I'm not supposed to have machine guns put in your face for making a wrong turn.
True.
Right off of a main street. And so we were speculating because, yeah, almost everybody else going to the meeting had done the same thing. And we had asked the people, hey, that building right there, you know, what is it? And one of the reps I talked to didn't know what it was. But he had also turned in there before. At one time or another. And another guy said, I'm pretty sure that's actually the backup
for gotcha.
And that's the one that nobody's supposed to know about. So that if the terrorists ever take over the this is the backup.
And you're just announcing this.
Well, I didn't say where I was. If Al-Qaeda's listening to this transmission.
They will now. Great, honey. You just brought down the United States to its knees.
Well, at least one.
The one that everybody's scared about.
Nah.
People are
people more scared about than
wasn't it that those were doing? That they were scheduled to do? Weren't they scheduled
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I thought they
were. Yeah,
I think you're right. I think that's the one that everybody freaks out about because...
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to redact part of this podcast because that day freaked my S and my S is still freaked. So, oh, and after my job interview, I got to go hang out with Heather. Heather is actually a nanny for Paul and Martha, and she gets to spend her days with the lovely Darth Bon Bon.
Yeah.
So I actually was almost, I was in the area practically. So I went ahead and drove the rest of the way and visited her and Darth Bon Bon and got to nuggle with the baby and visit with Heather. And...
Wasn't the ironic bit that it was the day after that we discovered the iPod?
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to... Baby, that just makes me look even dumber.
No.
It was. It was exactly the next morning. It wasn't even noon. It wasn't even 24 hours after I'd seen her.
Man.
And I was like, unbelievable. Inconceivable. Yeah, it was the next day. Thank you for pointing that out, sweetie. I didn't feel stupid enough.
Anytime.
There you are, supporting me.
I'm a helper.
You are. Yeah, it was a great visit, though. It was not long enough. But I had to get home for the boys.
Yeah, never is.
Yeah. We should just have a move in. Although we have already promised the basement to someone else.
You know, now and then
the
we...
And the teen wants it.
Yeah. Now and then we talk about the building the great podcaster commune.
Yeah.
And have all the podcasters take over a bunch of land.
Like a big campus.
Yeah. And we'll have the campus. We'll all be wired with fiber optic and super fat internet connection. And we'll have a big hall where we can do presentations. So it'll be like
a, yeah,
an all day 24/7 con. Everybody be together and teach each other stuff and podcast. Yeah. Well, Chris Lester, well, Pip Ballantyne was over from New Zealand last week.
Yes, Philippa Ballantyne, author
Vegas.
Of Chasing the Bard and Digital Magic.
She was in Vegas, but she originally flew into San Francisco, and Chris Lester lives over there.
Chris Lester of Metamore City Podcast. Yes.
So she was hanging with Chris, and they were hanging with... J. Daniel Sawyer, who wrote, he has a podcast novel. I have not listened to it.
There we're talking about Leviathan, something or other.
Leviathan Chronicles?
Was that his?
I don't think his is Leviathan Chronicles. Mm. His was Antithesis.
Okay.
And which is now high on my list to listen to because they were talking about it. It does sound really good. So anyways, the three of them were doing this round table about writing about sex and podcasting.
Right.
Well, I mean, sex and fiction.
Right.
And non-erotica stories that have sexual elements. And apparently in all of this discussion, at least on the West Coast and the Bay Area, they're literally thinking about their, I don't know, four or five of them, mm-hmm. buying a place and moving in, mm-hmm. and building a really nice professional studio, mm-hmm. and actually having the start of the podcaster commune, West Coast.
You know what would be more useful would be if they did it in Southern California. That would make it more useful for me. And for you, because then we could go out there and visit them.
Right.
And, you know, Jay, yeah, and the rest, yeah, of your family. And, yeah, you know, that. So, guys, if you don't mind, you know, if you're going to do it anyways, just go south.
8-9 hours south.
Yeah, it's okay.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
Weather's nice.
That would work well for us. And find us jobs.
But they've done something similar with all the Phoenix podcasters. Yeah. With not all the Phoenix podcasters, but some of the Phoenix podcasters, is I think that's what the Gangplank is all about with Evo Terra, and they built like this recording thing, and people drop in and do different stuff. And I'm pretty sure that's what it's about.
Cool.
I haven't read up on it.
No, you haven't, clearly. So, the borough's not big enough for us to do that here.
No,
we'd have to expand out the backyard and convert space, and mm-hmm. and we live too far away, so we'll just wait for someone else to do it locally and then we'll drop in there. Nobody wants to drive out this far unless we're doing BlenderCon. Right. So I think that's pretty much it. And
yeah,
it's busy, guys. Busy. But thank you for listening. And if you have any feedback, comments, questions, sharp pointed barbs that you want to throw at Chooch.
Me.
Then you can give us a call at 413-669-4720 and leave us a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
We like voicemail.
We do.
Or you can send an email to intotheblender@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the site at intotheblender.com.
Please do. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.